check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave, joined as always by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I am hungry. I don't know why. I had a light lunch, so I... when you're a big boy like me, that light lunch sometimes don't hit right.
Doesn't carry you quite far enough, does it?
that's right. So I'm ready for dinner, but that'll be after recording.
That's right. That's right. Well, and on this episode, we are going to be reviewing the new movie Speak No Evil, but we will get there in just a bit. Before we get there, Ike, what did you watch this week?
Yeah, so watch a couple things. Oh boy, now I'm gonna have to try and remember everything I watched. So I think I said this last time, but with the whole our like watch lists, mm-hmm. just because me and Caleb both work, we just kind of pick and choose, and we watch whatever from either list, just whenever we feel like doing it. So we watched both the Hocus Pocus movies. Only one of them's on the list, but obviously if you watch one, you got to watch the other. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Other than Hocus Pocus, we did, we watched the Belko Experiment, which is on the list. So we gave that a watch. It was a fun time. Very enjoyable. And we also watched The Purge, which I don't think is on the list, but it should be on any list all the time.
All right. Well, let's see. What did I watch? I think the only thing I watched, I did just today, actually, I rewatched In a Violent Nature. First time I've rewatched that since it's been out streaming. And I got to say, I think I actually enjoyed it even a little bit better on the second time. I don't know. I know everybody, including the wives, cracked the jokes about the walking and whatnot, but I don't know. It didn't seem as prominent to me as on the second watch, and I don't know why. But it was a good time. I enjoyed it again. But nice. So yeah, I think that's the only thing I watched. So, all right, well then let's move on.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where Ike and I give you a recommendation on a cheesy slasher from the past. And this week we have for you the recommendation of the movie Hide and Go Shriek. The movie was released November 1st, 1988 in a limited theatrical run with the violence trimmed down in order for it to get an R rating. Then in 1989, it was released, an unrated version was released on VHS and Laserdisc. There's a blast from the past. The old Laserdisc.
Laserdisc.
The just big old CDs for movies. And the movie was written by Michael Kelly, directed by Skip Skulnick, starring Bunky Jones, Britton Fry, Annette Sinclair, and more. The movie is described as a group of teenagers celebrate their graduation by staying the night inside a furniture store where they are stalked and murdered by a killer during a game of hide and go seek. Yeah, it's just as peculiar as it sounds. I don't recall why they're... Oh, I think they're in the furniture store because one of their dads owns the furniture store. So I guess they thought that would be a fun place to hang out for the night, to be private. I guess. I don't know. I don't know that there was much more to it. It doesn't say it in the description, but the killer does dress in women's clothing. I can't remember if it explores that and why... If there was a purpose behind that in the movie, or I don't know. It's a wacky movie. Some of the moving tracking shots in the movie were achieved by using a skateboard because the production company could not afford a dolly. So there you go. At your what is it? DIY. You can't afford a dolly. Use a skateboard.
That's right. DIY.
The movie was released in the UK on VHS with the title Close Your Eyes and Pray. Good enough. It was the film debut of Sean Cannon, who is better known for his appearances in Karate Kid Part 3, The Bold and the Beautiful, The Young and the Restless, and Cobra Kai. So, young Sean Cannon, this was his debut. Of course, big soap star, had long runs in The Bold and the Beautiful and The Young and the Restless, but also in Karate Kid Part 3 and Cobra Kai as, what was his name? Mike, what was his name? I can't remember his name in it. He was the bad boy guy. Why am I shooting a blank?
It's yeah, Mike. I don't remember his name either. It's my. Yeah, let me look. I'll look on IMDb.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Mike something. Mike Burton? Mike? Yeah, I don't know. I'm shooting a blank on that one. And I don't know why.
His name is Mike Barnes.
Barnes, that's it. Yeah, there you go. Pretty good character. He was in the latest season of Cobra Kai for a brief appearance. He was in last season, the previous season as well, but in the whatever the newest half that just came out, he's in it again for a bit. But anyway, Hide and Go Shriek is available to watch on Plex. So
if you dare to play Hide and Go Seek in the furniture store with these kids, there you go. Go to Plex and watch the movie. That's all I got for you. I can't recommend it any more than that. So let's move on.
Talk to us, internet. And now we're ready for the segment known as Talk to Us, Internet. And this one is peculiar to me because I saw one particular post. It went on our page or whatever. It was just perusing. I don't even remember which platform it was on. But anyway, that I have seen, and I've seen this in the past, but this one was some people have posted that they received comments online or whatever, but notes. This the one I saw was actually that a neighbor leaving them a note saying that they are decorating for Halloween too early. So I posed the question, isn't celebrating a holiday at the person's own discretion? And why do other people care so much? I guess if you live in a neighborhood and people are decorating in the yard, I mean, I know it's there, but what? I don't understand. Do you have to sit in your yard and stare at it all the time where it's causing that much of a problem for you? I guess I don't understand why people get hung up on this so much. And I don't know. Why is this such a big deal?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's like this. Like you said, it's kind of just like a mind your own business kind of deal. You know what I mean? I don't think there's anything wrong with putting up decorations early. I mean, there's nothing wrong with people who, you know, I sometimes give people shit for it. But I mean, if you want to decorate early for Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, whatever floats your boat, it's not a big deal. As long as it's not like obstructing like public sidewalks, or it's not obstructing like the road, or, you know, as long as it's nothing like that, I see no reason why anyone should care. The only thing that I could possibly think that, and they still shouldn't care, but I know some people live like in HOA areas. And like, yeah. I've never personally experienced an HOA, but I've heard nothing but bad stuff about HOAs.
Now, see, that would be something else. The HOA would step in then if there was guidelines of that and say something.
Right.
The example I saw, literally, the people did have a very, very large, extravagant yard decoration, right? Lots of stuff. I mean, it was really, really, really cool, really nice, really extravagant. But these people literally left them a note saying, what are you doing? Because I think they got it set up kind of late in August is when they got it finally, you know, set up and out. Or at least started. I don't know. I don't know if it was fully out or what the case would be. But it was just carrying on. Oh, it is too early for that. It's not October yet. You shouldn't be doing this. This is ridiculous. It's, you know, whatever. And I'm like, okay, you took the time to write a note. I mean, first of all, if you got something to say to a neighbor about this, well, can't you just go over and knock on the door and have a conversation with them? Say, yo, you know what? But I think, does that boil down to, I mean, what are they going to say? I mean, what are they going to base that complaint on? Is it, I mean, yeah. keeping them up at night? Is it no? I mean, no. I mean, I don't.
I don't assume there was nothing like that in this note that I saw. And I mean, just because you, if you don't like Halloween or you think it's, oh, I wouldn't put mine out. So what? That's not, that doesn't mean you have any right to tell someone else. And if it is not impeding on you in any way, then it's none of your business. I mean, it's whatever. And I mean,
I
and
agree.
if they're not breaking any kind of, like you said, an HOA or any kind of city ordinance, then they're not doing anything wrong. So ridiculous. But this is coming from the guy who I decorate for
Yeah,
Halloween.
that was actually gonna s
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I was gonna say the city ordinance, that was the word I was trying to remember, but I was like, there's not a lot of places that really have rules like that, not anymore at least.
No, I don't think about stuff like that. I mean, it's typically the only ordinances anymore, noise ordinances or, you have to keep your yard mowed and stuff like that. Stuff that
Right.
can technically be, cause issue with the neighborhood. But it's just weird to me when people get hung up on this. And I don't care if you hate Halloween or whatever. It's like, okay, just keep moving. Just don't look. Don't enjoy.
Right.
What, who cares? I mean, it's not like they're coming over and putting a 50-foot skeleton in your yard.
Those
I mean,
things are a little too expensive, man.
oh yeah, but they're beautiful.
They are.
I totally dig. I someday I will have a skeleton taller than my home, but we'll see. I believe there's also a werewolf one now, but I don't know. I mean, I decorate for Halloween usually around September 1st, and that's, it is what it is, but I don't do a lot of decorating outside, but I don't have a lot of outside Halloween decorations, or actually I don't really have any. But anyway, to my, and my thing, it's nobody's business if I want to start celebrating Halloween on September 1st. I mean, God dang, the stores are doing it.
I was gonna say their store's starting to celebrate Christmas. I mean, shit.
Yeah, I mean, do these people leave notes, to the stores? You shouldn't be putting out. I mean, come on, it's like.
Why are the Christmas decorations up? That's me though. I'm just like, bro, come on. It's not even November yet.
Yeah. See, I don't have any issue. I don't have any issue. It's not the time thing, but sorry, because I love Christmas. I love seeing Christmas stuff. My problem is, it's like, let me enjoy Halloween. Let's don't
Right.
overlap so much because I'm in, if I'm wanting, if I'm in looking at Halloween stuff and Halloween decorations and I see Christmas, I'm like, ooh, it's Christmas. But I'm like, no, I don't want to go peruse the Christmas yet because I'm still trying to enjoy the Halloween. So that's my only qualms. It's like, once I get Christmas or Halloween over with, yeah, bring on the Christmas. I'm ready to go stroll that. But anyway, people, mind your own business
True.
and quit being assholes. So, all right, well, that's that for that. So let's move on.
Top three.
And on this episode, we are going back to the old original, the top three list. And on this episode, we're going to talk and discuss our top three favorite James McAvoy horror movies. Ike, do you have your list ready?
I surely do.
Me too. So, Ike, kick us off. What is your number three favorite movie?
All right. Well, first and foremost, James McAvoy does not have a huge discography, or I should say filmography. He's not a DJ,
That we
but
know of.
that we know of. Hey, maybe he's spinning tracks. Who knows? But he doesn't have a he has a huge filmography, but not a huge horror filmography. So number three for me, and this will make sense as we go along, is It Chapter Two. I love It Chapter Two. I think I've talked about it before that I think it's the stronger of the two chapters. I know that they're both meant to be watched together, of course, but I just love Chapter Two so much. I love the adult versions of the characters. So, obviously James McAvoy playing, I think there's Bill in the movie. Fantastic casting choice. So good. But yeah, loved it, Chapter Two.
Totally agree. And I will, yeah, that's all I'll say right now because it's on my list as well. So, and here we go. So my number three, surprisingly, is honestly the movie we're discussing today, Speak No Evil. Well, here's my qualms about this though. I like the movie. I enjoyed the movie. We'll discuss it more later. But my one hesitation and my one thing about not putting in the list, hesitating to put in the list is, and I'll discuss this more later, is I guess I have a little trepidation about calling this a horror movie. And it's some of my same old things I've discussed sometimes. I don't know that I classify it so much as a horror movie. But anyway, I did enjoy the movie. And especially if we're honing in on him in particular, he was outstanding in this movie. And we'll discuss that more later. But I think I enjoyed it enough that I slid it in there at number three for me. And maybe it's just the freshness on my mind that, brought it up. But, and we won't discuss much more because, again, that's our review later in the show. But that movie slipped in there at number three for me. So, Ike, what is that, your number two spot?
All right, my number two spot, and I kind of grouped these two together, but just because he plays the same character in both. Number two is Split slash Glass. I love Split, and Glass is okay. It's the sequel to Split because it's talks about our boy and a couple other people that if you've never seen the movie, go check it out. It's really good. But yeah, absolutely. I love Split, love Glass. The Beast is a very intriguing character. His character in Split is just a very interesting, different take on a villain of sorts.
I completely agree, and my number two was Split as well for 2016. I didn't lump Glass in with it. I see, how they go together and whatever else, but just for the simple fact, kind of like you said, Glass is okay, but I thought Split was better. I enjoy
Right.
Split a little better. So, yes, I mean, I pretty much echo your sentiments. I thought, Split was, I don't know, it was creepy and nervy, kind of very, it was well done. It was a well done movie, very enjoyable. And I mean, and like everything he's in, I mean, he's always good. It doesn't
Oh,
matter
yeah.
what he's in, what movie it is, whether it's horror or not. He's just incredible. So yeah, my number two spot was also Split. So, all right, it's on to the number one. So, Ike, what is your number one favorite James McAvoy horror movie?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of afraid to say it, but I think my favorite, and I guess we'll talk about it a little bit later. I really, yeah, I loved him in Speak No Evil, frankly. I think that his, like you said, I'm not going to get into it too much, and I'm sure we'll have a good conversation here in a minute about it. But yeah, I mean, he just did so good. His character, his little tweaks and the things that he did to the character, I just. He has that charisma and like that just feel to his acting, and it's just, oh, chef's kiss.
Absolutely. Again, I won't say any more. We'll talk more about this. I mean, I've got things to say, but we'll save it for the review. But yes, he was amazing in the movie. It was a fun movie to watch, but he was absolutely was no offense to anybody else in it, but he was spectacular. So
He was.
yeah. And of course, then that would, by power of deduction, if people have heard this conversation, my number one is It Chapter Two. I love the It movies. I love Pennywise. I love Stephen King. Everybody knows that has listened. I mean, for crying out loud, one of my favorite Stephen King movies is Christine. I know for some reason people have given me heat on that. I don't know. I don't guess people like Christine. I love Christine. But anyway, I love the It movies. I love the original It miniseries, but I do love the It movies. You're absolutely correct. They're best 1-2, but yes, two is a little stronger. Perhaps because of the foundation that the chapter one lays, it helps,
True.
really, really sell it. But whatever the case may be, one of the reasons maybe that I lean a little more towards chapter two as well is because of him being in the movie. Because again, I do very much enjoy his performances, and he was perfect. He was absolutely perfect in the role. Just spot on was absolutely perfect. So that is my number one. So we actually had the same three movies, just in different orders, except for
Yeah.
Split. So there you go. But again, I don't. You're right. He didn't have a very deep catalog. I don't know other. I mean, I know he did Victor Frankenstein, but
Yeah.
I don't. I'm not. Believe it or not, I'm not even 100% sure I have seen that. I remember it, and then when I was looking through kind of his filmography, I saw that. I was like, oh yeah, but I don't know. Maybe if I start to watch it, I will know. I'm very curious now to watch it, because if he's playing Victor Frankenstein, I love that concept. So, yeah, I don't know. Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we kind of, I don't know. Maybe it's what the best top three subject, but hey, we pulled it off. There was at least three.
Right.
So the way it
There was
worked.
at least three. And not to mention the three movies are all extremely good movies. So I think
There you go.
it makes it work. You know
Yeah,
what
it's all right.
I mean?
It's topical to the conversation today, so that's what we try to do. We try to keep top three list kind of in line with the review a little bit if we can. So there you go.
Right.
What are you talking about? I mean, it's a free podcast, people. Don't complain about our top three list topic.
True. So, it's a free podcast.
Give me a break. So, all right. So let's take a break, and we will really quickly fill through some of the hate mail. And when we come back, we will have the news, birthdays, movie anniversaries, etc. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right. M. Night Shyamalan has teased that he has begun ideas for his 17th movie. So, we actually got an M. Night Shyamalan movie this year. It was Trap. Trap was extremely good. So obviously we're both super stoked to hear anything else that Mr. Shyamalan decides to throw at us. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool. I can't remember where he posted it about this and where this started. What platform it was on, but he said that this is his process, right? Once he finishes a movie, he pretty much gets a brand new notebook, and he starts in with the ideas and concepts for the next movie, and that's kind of how his process is. And he says that sometimes it takes longer than others, whatever. But he did say that he has the new notebooks out. There's already some ideas going into it and flowing. It's The idea process is begun. Don't everybody get excited. That doesn't mean we're getting a new movie next year or anything like that. It just means that, hey, if you enjoy his movies, he's at least plotting the next one. It's on its way. It might be a couple of years. So give him a break, man. He just put out Trap, and it was pretty good. We had a recent review of that. So just calm down, go watch Trap again and be cool. But it's still exciting to hear that he's already got the wheels turning for the next one.
Yep, absolutely. That's a fun little process too, to just be like, yep, I already finished that movie. Let's rock and roll. Let's get that other one rolling.
Yeah, can you imagine that though? He's always done that process. That means he has a notebook for each one of his movies like that, just for that movie. That is so cool. And you imagine, I would love to see these, just to see what the ideas as they developed and what didn't make it and how it evolved. Fascinating. That is so cool.
Honestly, it'd be cool if I would read that. Like if he put that into like a book format,
yeah,
I would straight up read that.
So cool.
Be very cool. Just it's one of those things where it's like with the creative process, everyone's different, but M. Night Shyamalan's a little extra different, I feel like. So he's a little extra different.
Yeah, it'd be curious to see, do these ideas come out fairly fully formed, or do they, how much do they evolve over time, all right? Or how much does he really come out and, oh, bam, here's the idea, and it's there, and it's just working out the detail. I would love to see what that looks like as far as his process goes.
Yeah, I would be very, very, very curious, honestly. Like we said, he's got a very interesting mind, so I'm sure it would be interesting to read.
Yeah.
But all right, moving on to Maxine. We'll begin streaming on Max on October 18th. Oh, Lord, God of the Maxine. I will not accept the life I do not deserve. Love that movie.
Yeah.
Such a good movie. Pearl and X are definitely great movies. Maxine's a great movie. I do like Pearl a little bit more than all of them, but Maxine's still a solid movie. Still solid.
Yeah. I very much enjoyed Maxine. Of course, we got to, again, if people want to hear full thoughts, we got to review in the archives. This is definitely an exciting thing to me. It's one that I'll probably rewatch when it hits the streaming. So
when it hits the max, gotta check it out. And then moving on to Severance Mountain is now available video on demand on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, and Google Play. Also, be sure to check out our interview with writer and director Ethan Henry and our podcast archives. Always enjoy a good interview. Talking to Ethan was fantastic. We've already talked about it a lot, but he's a very cool dude. Very cool interview. I encourage everyone to watch the video version of the interview so you can kind of see his background a little bit. Like I said, he's in a tattoo shop. Got some cool stuff there. Always a fun time.
Yeah, it definitely was. I watched Severance Mountain the day it was released. And man, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Definitely. Boy, and I think I texted this. It's like, boy, our boy Ethan's got a little bit of a demented mind. He's but in a fun way. And I would definitely. What's their tagline? Something about sometimes the worst. What is it? The worst villains are the human ones, or something like that.
Yeah, something like the worst villains are the humankind or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Well,
the worst monsters are the humankind.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, and once you watch the movie, it's definitely. It's I enjoyed it. I liked it. It was right up my alley. So well done, Ethan. Well done, buddy.
Honestly, I still gotta check it out, but as soon as I check it out, I'll throw some thoughts out there. Maybe we can do like a special episode or something, but I need to go check it out too to get my official juices flowing.
Oh, there's plenty of juices.
That's my creative
flowing.
Process. I gotta get the juices flowing. I bet. Oh Lord. But all right, there we go. That's all we have for news. That was short and sweet. But now we have some upcoming birthdays. Going back to September 21st, 1947. Speaking of it, Stephen King, an author known for many, many works, it being one of them, of course. Fantastic, fantastic creator. Another fella with a very demented mind. But much to our pleasure, his mind is demented.
Absolutely. I'm a big Stephen King fan, and it's exciting. So happy birthday, Mr. King, or happy almost birthday.
Right, almost birthday, almost. And then on the same day and year, Nick Castle, The Shape in Halloween 1978. Actually, I recently saw some TikToks with Nick Castle at a convention, I believe. It was either a recent convention or maybe an older convention. I'm not sure. But I saw some videos and he seems to be, in good spirits from what I can tell.
Yeah. He's still out there doing the thing and, talking about his Halloween days and whatever else. I mean, say what you want. The very first Michael Myers, or excuse me, The Shape, as they was referred to then. So wait. Thank you, Nick. Thank you.
Yep. Absolutely. Historical significance, my friend. And, moving on to September 22nd, 1959, Mark Patton from Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge. I do remember him. I do remember who he plays. Obviously, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is not as strong as an entry as some of the other entries to the franchise, but still, nonetheless, a very good Nightmare movie.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy it, yeah. And poor Mark Patton, he'll probably always be known for that goofy dance scene in it where, you know, he's... whatever, closing a drawer with his ass or whatever it was he was doing. So, but he was, still very good in the role, very good in the movie. And, and obviously what was it? There was something, I think it was a documentary on him that really people need to watch because it really goes in depth about, some of what he had to endure and go through with his sexuality and being in Hollywood. It's very, it's heartbreaking at times, but he's come off really strong in the end, and so it makes me love Mark Patton even more.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I think I've seen the documentary you're talking about because, and it is kind of sad, but at the same time, you know, like you said, he's kind of had to take it in stride, unfortunately, because of the way the world is, which is unfortunate. But like you said, I think he came out the other side of it even better, and he's still here with us and, you know, still making stuff and still doing what he loves. So I guess that's what matters.
That's right.
But very good. And then sharing a birthday with Mark Patton, just a mere, 63 years later, September 22nd, 2022, Listen to Their Screams was born. I remember like it was yesterday. Except
Yeah.
it was 2 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah. When I saw that little tyke in the hospital, and he was just, whatever. Yeah. Almost
He
a
was
2 years
squealing.
of, that's right, screaming. Almost a 2 years of doing the thing. So there you go.
Yep. It's a good time. It's a good time. And like we always say, it's, making podcasts can be challenging, but when you're talking about horror movies, it's always a good time.
Right. You got to enjoy it, or else it's frustrating.
Correct. 100%. But very good. Happy birthday to us. I'll make sure to eat some cake for us later. If I have any cake. I don't think I do. If I do, I'm eating it. And then moving on to some upcoming movie birthdays or anniversaries, if you will. September 24, 2004, Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead is on our Listen to Their Screams watch list for September and October, so catch it when it comes up if it hasn't already. And yeah, I love Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead is easily one of my favorite of all time. It's not like parody movie, I guess you could call it a spoof movie. But yeah, it's so good. One of my favorites.
Yeah, mine too. And 20 years old. Oh, that seems surreal. Unbelievable. That it's 20 years, but I love Shaun of the Dead. Every time I watch it, I laugh just as hard as I did the first time. Such a great movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is, and it's one of those movies that has aged really well. Despite the time it was made in.
Yep, absolutely.
Moving on to our other birthday, if you will, for movies. September 25th, 1998, Urban Legend. That's a good one. Urban Legend is a good one. I have seen it a couple times, and it's one of those ones that I revisit every now and then. But yeah, I haven't actually watched this in a little while, so maybe this will prompt me to do so. But I like it. It's a good little slasher.
Yeah, it is, and a very, very 90s cast. But yeah, I haven't watched it. It's been several years since I've watched it, so yeah, maybe I'll need to give it a rewatch here in Spooktober, and for the first time in a few years. So it's a pretty fun movie.
Yeah. Gotta love a little bit of slash, a little bit of stab, and if you add a little bit of cheese, makes it all the better. But coming up next here is upcoming releases coming soon to a theater near you. Well, not really, but The Creep Tapes, the newest installment in the Creep franchise, will be hitting Shudder on November 15th. On that day, the first two of these six episodes will be released, followed by another episode each Friday after that. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I hate it when streaming services release shit episodically. That shit makes my blood boil. But I'll still watch it. I'll still support Shudder. I will just do so with a grimace because I just want to watch all of it. I just want to just binge it. Just want to watch it. Just want to get it inside of me. But I can't. I gotta wait weeks to watch it. Some bullshit. But look, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. That's great. But Shudder, if you're listening, please stop. Please stop.
Man.
You're hurting the people you love.
First world problems, man. That was kind of whiny there about that,
First world
dude.
problems, truly.
You would have just been dead in the 80s. I mean, it
That'll be my next hot take. Listen, listen, listen.
but you buried the lead though. It's new Creep, and dude, I am
It
so
is.
excited, and I love the Creep movies. I'm excited for this. Cannot wait. Again, they are underappreciated. They're not talked about enough, and hopefully this brings a little more attention to the franchise.
Absolutely. And I do think it will. I think that this will actually bring a lot of attention to the franchise. I think we always talk about it, but a lot of times these movies and TV shows and little things like that, these little ditties, they always kind of get a resurgence of some sort, and it ends up being sort of a episodic retelling of something of some sort. Now I'm going to imagine that this is going to be a sequel of some sort or a prequel. I haven't really heard anything about it, so maybe you can fill me in. Is Mark Duplass in this? Is he still the creep?
I don't, he is definitely part of it, definitely wrote it, whatever else. They've not really said much about the premise, who's in it, what it might be, or any of that. They said nothing. He's definitely there because he's one of the guys that created this. So yeah, he's definitely still on board, still writing and everything else. So I don't know. They've not released a lot of information. I'm kind of digging that. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what happens and seeing the one good thing about it being episodic is I can see us then on during this time period on each episode of the podcast, we will probably at the open, probably give a little chit chat about the latest episode. And so that'll be kind of fun.
It'll be fun, except for I will still hate my life because I want to see all of it. But again, first world problems. It's all good. But, well, all right. We'll check that out when it comes out in November. November is just a hop, skip, and a jump away. Before we know it, it'll be Christmas. But moving on to our other upcoming release, The Black Phone 2 will release in theaters on October 17th, 2025. Ethan Hawke will return as the Grabber in the movie. Obviously, we have reviewed the Black Phone movie. We both love the Black Phone movie. We're super stoked for this. And if I remember correctly, this is supposed to be a prequel, right?
I believe so. I think that's what they've said, yeah. And I know there's lots of people returning from the other movie and everything else. So it's not just Ethan Hawke. There's several people in it. So, but yeah, I think that's what they've said. Don't quote me on that, but I think so, yeah. I'm super excited because I think the first one made our top five of that year. I'm pretty sure.
I want to say it did. I want to say that it did in fact reach our top five. So, I mean, that just proves how strong that movie was. And I was very concerned when they said there's going to be a sequel, but I think my fears have been quelled for the most part. So I'm ready for it.
Yeah, me too. Bring it on. Let's see what it is.
That's right. I'll let you like I say, we always say it, but we'll pretty much watch anything. I mean,
yeah.
There's not much that we won't watch in this line of business, I suppose.
No. I watch a lot of stuff that I sit there and I think, whoa, that wasn't worth it, but so be it, you know.
Right. good times. But you know, we'll watch it, we'll check it out. Even if it's the worst movie on this earth, you guys will still get a review, I promise. Not that anybody's out there like, yeah, get that Black Phone 2 removed or review, my bad. Yeah. A little Freudian slip, I guess. Anywho, but yeah, so we're excited. We'll check it out whenever it comes out, November next year, whatever they said, October, September, January. Anywho, before we get too crazy here, perfect time to let you know to listen. Oh my God, my brain is not working today. It's a perfect time to have you guys follow us on social media because apparently I have dementia and my brain is degrading in front of everyone right now. So it might not be too much longer. No, I'm kidding. But make sure you're following us because we always post about this stuff when it comes up. So when these movies come out, we post about it. When these movies are getting trailers, teasers, promotional pictures, we post about it as soon as we get it. So follow us on social media if you aren't already. And we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to try and figure out why I'm having, I don't know, a miniature stroke or whatever. And when we come back, we will have our official review of Speak No Evil.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/rasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right. And we are back here on Listen to Their Screams, and it is review time. As we've already spoke a little bit of it, but now it's time for the full review of Speak No Evil. That movie was written by James Watkins, Christian Taftrup, and Mads Taftrup. Directed by James Watkins, starring James McAvoy, Mackenzie Davis, Scott McNairy, Aslan Francesi, and Alex West Leffler. The movie was released September 13th in theaters and grossed $11.5 million on its opening weekend, which was good for number two, behind the hot new movie Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. No harm done there, coming in behind that one.
Yeah.
But we touched on it a little earlier that we both enjoyed this movie, and I did. It's a very enjoyable movie. When it first started, I thought, ooh, it's moving a little slow for me. But man, once it hit the stride, it really went. And I'm gonna try not to give any spoilers. But when the stride happened, it was all on the back of James McAvoy. When he started giving some of the insights into his true character and some of his some of the stuff that he was hiding, so to speak, without having to give it, that's when the movie really started picking up, is when you saw him starting to do that, because he was just masterful in how he did it and how he slipped these things in, and then with his acting, acted like it was nothing. It was like not a big deal. It was great. And as the movie and the story develops, it was well done by everybody involved. But again, McAvoy shined in this movie. Like I said earlier, I know there's lots of different types of horror movies. If I went into this completely as with a blank slate and watched this and had someone ask me, I wouldn't have called this a horror movie. It is, yes, there are scary, tense parts. It's more of a thriller. I don't know. This feels like a souped-up big screen version of like almost a Criminal Minds episode or something. And I don't know that I would, my truest forms, I would call this horror. But then again, I know there's all these different genres. We've discussed this. Horror is a very loose definition for film. So I can see where it falls under, right? I mean, to me, there are cases, yeah, where thrillers, they can be classified as a type of horror, right? Because that is scary. And I get that. But I think we're flying a little loose with the horror on this, but still, there's enough tension and stuff there that if that's your bag, it's still fun. It's still a good watch. And it just got better as the movie went. I mean, McAvoy was just, he was building and building and ramping up, and was just incredible by the time the movie really got going. There were just a couple of spots that really did have super tension where you thought things were going to happen and then they didn't. You're like, oh, come on. And it was pretty wild. Some of the music choices in this film were absolutely brilliant to me, because they were, I've always said that uncharacteristic songs in these settings are creepy. They're spooky. They work.
Right.
And they did that in a couple of cases in this movie where they made a couple song choices that you wouldn't expect in this type of movie, but yet it just like it added to that tension and that creepiness, and it was really well used. I really, really liked it. And I'm pretty sure the one song is I think it's a Bangle song, and it's like you don't expect that in this kind of movie, but the way they used it, it worked. And not only that, they used it twice, and it really worked. But it was, I mean, like I said, super fun movie. It felt like it was starting slow at first to me, but man, once it hit that point, it was just unreal after that. It's like they set the table and then they're like, here comes the feast. And McAvoy said, here, watch this. And he took that thing on his back and just totally had your emotions going everywhere, because it's like, and it was truly a movie that kind of kept you guessing a little bit, because you didn't know. Again, like I said previously, I've not seen the original, didn't watch the original purposely before this one. So going into this, it's like, the motives and what's driving this story, I didn't really know. Right. And you try guessing and whatever else, you think you have an idea, but you don't really have all the details. And I think they did a really good job of painting it where you had an ideal, but yet then they honed it in. It's like, ooh, there was a few details to that I didn't know that really makes it even creepier. And And the one boy in the movie did that. He did a great job too. And there you go. That's enough of my rambling. Ike, tell me what you think about Speak No Evil. You had to have liked it. You ranked it as your number one favorite James McAvoy horror movie. So tell me what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. So as someone who has watched the, because I watched the OG version, the Danish version, I believe it is, Swedish, whatever, European or people, I don't know, whomever it was that made the original movie. Excuse me. They were on the money. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to ruin it because obviously for people who maybe have seen this movie, but haven't quite watched the other movie or vice versa. The other film ends in a much different, much darker way. And the other film is alludes to some pretty morbid shit, frankly. So I do like that this movie maybe posed it in somewhat of a more positive light somehow. And I like how they rationalize some of the actions of some of the characters in this movie better than the other one did. And again, I say that with a grain of salt because the other film is a foreign language film. Technically, it is mostly English, but there is a lot of interactions that happen between basically two people that don't necessarily speak, that don't necessarily have the same home language. And so it's one of those instances where it's very possible that as a non-native speaker of that language or of that culture, maybe I was missing something. You know what I mean? So I always give it that grain of salt. But watching it like this, where it's the interaction between an American family and a European family, it's very different. Very different from the other movie. And I think that this movie did it better. I think this movie generally was so much better. And I think a lot of that has to do with James McAvoy. James McAvoy, this was a masterclass on how to act like a fucking psychopath. Truly. I mean, the character he plays lies so easily and so fluidly in this film, because you eventually figure out what he's saying is true and what of what he is saying is not true. Right.
Yeah.
And he's very much one of those people that he lies like he breathes. So you're not really sure what's true, what's not true. And there's a lot of things you still don't know by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And the ending of this movie is both jarring, but also like it's not as jarring as how the other movie ended. Let me say it like that. And there was just a lot of things about this movie that, like, I don't know. It just, like you said, there were so many ups and downs. Like, you're like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Is it going to do it? Is this going to happen? Like, are we good? Like, or, you know, did they get away, or did they get to this point, or did they get here, or what, you know? And like you said, throughout the film, he slips it in a little bit, right?
Yeah.
He slips in a little bit of that psychopath, but he snaps out of it quickly because he's playing a game, right? He's enjoying himself. He's having fun.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. Obviously, from the trailer, from people who can tell, everything starts out relatively normal. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You kind of like James McAvoy's character. You know what I mean? You kind of sympathize with him.
Yeah. But it's like early on, you actually, honestly, the other dad seems like more of a weird ass asshole kind of guy. He just seems.
He does.
Yeah. At first. So.
No, absolutely. And that's what I was going to say is the other, like the quote unquote traditional protagonist, I guess you could say, of this film. He like you say, kind of seems like a dickhead. It's very much different where by the end of the film, you're like, yeah, okay, this is so much different than how this film started. This took a complete 180 from where we started to now. And it's just, oh man. It was just so good. And like I said, James McAvoy truly is probably one of the best parts of this movie. Everyone did a fantastic job. Like you said, the little boy, I don't remember his name. Is it And? Is that his name?
I can't remember. I can't remember, but yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Can't remember.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's a European name. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anywho. The kind of long and short of what I was getting to is, you know, this film did a lot of great. It's Ant, A-N-T, like the bug, I guess.
All right.
but like I said, this movie's super good. If you have not seen the original, I would watch this one first and then watch the original. I kind of wish that I had had that experience just because this one is better in my opinion. And I think that I kind of understand some of the things that happened in the original movie a little bit better, because for the most part, this movie is an essentially shot for shot remake of the original for like the first like 30 minutes. Yeah. And then it starts to deviate a little bit. Not to say that you should watch the original, because the original still has some stuff that's different from this movie. They're very different movies. Truly. If you took out the first 30 minutes, they're completely different movies. I believe that the only person who shares a name with a character is Agnes. Everyone else's names are different. So, good little fun fact there. But yeah, so without rambling too much, it was just one of those movies where I watched it and I'm like, I am very satisfied with this movie. Very satisfying ending, very satisfying conclusion. Much more satisfying than the OG. And this is one of those very rare times where I would say that I like the remake. Well, it's not that rare for me, but I like the remake more than the original. I was going to say rare, but I can't lie. It's not a unique thing I do. It's kind of my shtick, I suppose. But yeah, that's my position on this. I like this a lot. Very much enjoyed it. I do agree. It does lean more heavily into like the thriller aspect of it. So it's not necessarily a traditional cut, clean, dry horror movie, but still enjoyable nonetheless.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of tension and, you know, kind of on the edge of your seat thing. It's just more of a little more from the thriller side. There's definitely quote unquote violence to it or whatever. It's just, but you know, that's kind of the way through. But again, it is very enjoyable. And like I said, when it hits that point and it ramps up, man, it's like they cut the brake lines and just let that sucker go. And, it was super fun after that. And, it really had you guessing. And, you know, one of the definite underlying, you know, we mentioned the one dad and how he was kind of the asshole. We didn't like him at the beginning. One of the underlying themes of the movie is definitely a little bit of a redemption for him.
Yeah.
And, in a way, but, there's some themes going through this movie, which, you know, some of it, you know, as you watch the movie, you think, it's establishing why a character is the way it is. But you know, a little bit of it comes back a little later, right? And and you were definitely right. The part where, yeah, he lies and you don't know even coming out of it. You look back on some of it, it's like, oh, I wonder what was real and what was not real. You know, because, right. You know, there's just some of these scenes where he says things. And then they're looking at him like, what? And then he plays it off like a joke or something, right? And they're like, oh, you know. And then you wonder in retrospect, it's like, okay, which one of the two is really the truth there? You know, was he telling the truth to see how they would react and then playing it off as a joke? Or, you know, it's like you wonder about certain things going through it now. And it's just fascinating. You know, like we've said before, you don't necessarily have to answer every question. It's okay to leave some things you know, in the air and some loose ends, because they don't necessarily affect the overall story and whatnot, but they often add a little more depth to some of the characters than if you completely spell it out. And it's just, you know, I mean, one of the definite little horror aspects is his character, James McAvoy's character in this is absolutely a cookie cutter villain. I mean, there's not much by the end that you can find redeemable about him. Even, you know, but it totally, watching it, I totally got that vibe where when you hear news stories about things happening, right, whether it be cults or fringe religious groups or whatever it might be, or certain leaders or different things, and you hear the story and you think, man, how do people fall for that? How do they get sucked into that? And how do they, you know, how does that even happen? You know, it seems so preposterous. But then you see the way, like, he played this and the personality and that and everything else. And you say, aha, that's how, right? Because most of those people in those positions of power, they have that magnetic personality and that ability to convince almost anyone of anything, or they know how to pick the people they can convince. And so they understand that. So you see a lot of that of, oh yeah, this I can see this guy absolutely leading a mass of people in a cult because he's got that charming personality and that ability to weave a tale to convince people of things. So,
No, absolutely. I agree with that. He and I think that because and again, like I said, the guy who plays James McAvoy's character in the original, because his name's Patty in this movie, and then in the original, like they actually look pretty similar how they're designed. But I don't know. There's something about James McAvoy that like lends to sort of that like ominous charisma, where like you can't help but like kind of like him throughout the movie. And like you even kind of like I don't know, you kind of second guess like what he's capable of doing because you keep thinking to yourself, man, he seems like such a nice guy, you know what I mean? And that's like how well his character is made and developed throughout the film. And yeah, I already want to watch it again, frankly, because something I noticed, and this actually I meant to say this, his character, he like says things, right? But then like he'll say it, but then he'll say it kind of like subtly under his breath, and like you almost miss it because he's almost like he's gaslighting. He's trying to gaslight these people into thinking he's not a fucking nut job. But like there's a lot of parts where he does that, where he's like talking about something, and like he'll say something and be like, oh yeah, you know this happened, you know blah blah blah, but also blah blah blah, and then you're like, oh wait, what? Run that by me again. But like, he says it so quick that you don't question it, and it just you know, it seems true or real. So, but I want to watch it again already.
And it I mean, he was playing it so well when the first little glimpse of that side of him, the dark side of him, came up in the movie, and you kind of see that first really, letting it out. It really catches you, like, whoa, what was that? It's like, dude. And then it's like you almost get sucked into it like they do. It's like, okay, you just dismiss it away. Okay, well, whatever. That's yeah, everybody has their moments. And it is what it is, and but it does catch you when you first see it. It's such a dichotomy of how much you like the one side of him and hate the one side of him, that it adds so much to the unsettling and the uneasiness you feel. Like when he does it, it's like you're like, oh shit, that was horrible. But it's like, but I don't want to hate him. It's like, it's like, that I hate what he just did, but it's like, but God, he was, he seems like, it's like, so it really made it totally added to the uneasiness of it, and added a whole layer.
Yeah.
So well done. So all right, well, let's rate this sucker. So Ike, out of 5 screams, what are you giving Speak No Evil?
Well, maybe perhaps just a little bit. This might be a little crazy. But give looking at the two films, because obviously I've seen both, I would give the original like a 3.5. And since this one's better in my opinion, I have to give it a 4. I think this is one of my 4s this year. Yeah, it was just I liked it a lot, you know what I mean? And this is all based on enjoyment too, and that's the big thing that we always say is, you know, what we rank these films is not based on anything other than how much do we enjoy this movie. And I greatly enjoy this movie. I greatly enjoyed having the background that I did and being able to look at this through maybe a different lens perhaps, but still such a good movie.
Yeah, so well, strong stance there. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm giving it a 3.5, and that is mainly held back just a touch by that little gnawing thing in my head of it's hard for me to label it a horror movie, even though it has, some elements to it. So it's that little part of, if we had a whatever a thriller, suspense movie podcast, this might be a 5 for me or something. It's like, might be off the charts, but there's just that little part of me that holds back. But that is not to undermine at all how much I enjoyed watching this movie,
Yeah.
and how fun it was, and damn, how good James McAvoy was. I know we've said it, and it just can't be said enough. He is, man. If you take him out and put someone that couldn't carry the ball quite like he could, and it's just not the same movie. It's just not gonna come across the same. And I mean, he totally Man, you totally believed him in this movie. And I mean, there were even legitimately even parts of the movie where things were happening. And I legit felt concerned for the actor playing the other role. It's like something would happen. I'm like, well, he can't do that to that other actor. You know, that's over the line, man. How the hell, man? That's gotta be weird. And because you honestly think to yourself, well, how the hell they filmed that without making it be just weird and uncomfortable? And it's like, I don't know. They're just, it was just wild, a wild movie. But definitely a fun watch. I highly advise people go out and watch it in theaters. And then again, this is going to be one of those movies. We've said this before about some. When this sucker hits streaming, this thing's going to be huge. This thing's going to get so many streaming views because this is that perfect movie that has a really, it actually has a really broad appeal. But yet, you know, a lot of the people, there's, you know, you don't get, except for the big movies, there's not this super big amount of massive people that's going to theaters right now. But when this is streaming, this is just going to be, this thing's going to just be, I think it's going to be streamed like crazy. And I know I'll probably, when it hits streaming, I'll probably watch it first day where you watch it. And, definitely a fun watch. And speaking of a fun watch, we didn't really have a new release so much for next week. So we're going with a newish release because next episode, we are going to review Creeping Death, which just came out a week or two ago and is available on Screenbox. I've already watched this. I'm going to rewatch it again before the review, but this is a super fun movie. And we posted that on the social media when it came out. I think it came out last week. I think it came out on the 10th, if I'm remembering right. And we posted, you know, on the social media that, man, this is a super fun movie, especially to watch this time of year. And this is one of those movies I'm not going to, you know, I know I'm giving away some, but this is one of those movies that's probably going to be in my Spooktober rotation from here on out that I'll rewatch just because it fits into the season so well. And nice. It's a super fun movie to watch. And we are reviewing it next episode. And I'm super excited for that. And, you know, we haven't recorded it yet, but there is an upcoming interview that we have scheduled with writer, director, and actor from this movie, Matt Sampere. I think they say Sampere. Matt, I apologize if I butchered that. We'll get that nailed down before we talk to you. Or at least we'll get it nailed down before we record when we talk to you. But anyway, we do have an interview scheduled with him. So watch for that forthcoming as well. If you are really digging Creeping Death like I am, then you can hear our review. And then soon after, in the near future after that, you can hear our interview with Matt, who wrote the movie, directed the movie, and stars in the movie, and does a great, great job. And this is definitely a, if you follow him on social media and you see some of his posts about this movie, this has been a passion project that they've been working on for quite some time, and that he's really worked hard to bring to fruition. And it's doing really well on Screenbox. I think it's hanging in there around number 3. And when you have a platform that's got the Terrifier movies and such like that on it, you know, and it's, we've talked about some of the past, you know, Frogman and Life of Belle and some of those movies that we really dug on Screenbox. And, you know, there they were up, you know, high in the top 10 for a while. So it seems like everybody agreed with us. Well, you know, Creeping Death is the same deal. It's holding round number 2, number 3 on their, you know, top 3 or top 10 views. And anyway, fun movie. Go watch it on Screenbox. Get prepped for us to review it next week. And like I said, I'll be rewatching it again before the review because I've been wanting to rewatch it anyway, but I'm going to save it now for prior to the review. So once again, thank you to the wives for all their support and everything else. We will have them on very soon for another episode or installment of Wives Rebuttal. It's about that time, Ike, so brace yourself.
I'll brace myself.
You might make sure you have an adult beverage in hand for that night. But anyway, that's coming up. We're due to hash it out with them again, so we'll have to get with them and see what they want to discuss. They're never short on suggestions and ideals. That's coming up for those of you who enjoy that segment, which many of you do. Yes, our wives have fans of the show, and it's just Monica never fails to remind me of that. So. But also, thank you to all the listeners and followers, both of us and of the wives, whoever you are. Thank you for supporting the show, listening to us, interacting with us on social media. I just had a birthday, and we, of course, put it on our social. We talked about it last episode, but we did, obviously post it on social media on the podcast accounts. And you got a lot of love, people wishing you a happy birthday and lots of likes and everything else, just on the standpoint of the podcast. So we have some great listeners and followers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Love our listeners, love our followers, except for the ones that like the wives.
Well, what are you talking about? We love the wives, so we got a trip.
Yes, but they keep making us bring them back on.
I know. I'm surprised. We're about due for someone to do that post. Hey, when's the wives going to be back on? Because it always happens. Always happens.
It'll and happen after this.
Probably. It's about due. And But there's definitely, there's always comments every time we do a wives battle. Hey, man, the wives are great. And whatever else. And I'm like, okay, yeah. But you got them in little doses here and there. Just keep that in mind. But no. I can to an extent. So there you go. But anyway, before we close this out and get out of here, anything you want to throw in?
Yeah, man. If you meet somebody on vacation and they're hitting you up, they seem like a chill dude. They invite you to their secluded, somewhat isolated abode in the middle of nowhere. Maybe think twice about that one. It's may not be a good situation you get yourself into.
Yeah, if it feels wrong, there's a good chance it is. Remember, stranger danger.
True.
And it's why I just don't make friends. I just you never know. So if I get, but it's true. But anyway, all right. So yeah, be careful out there, people. And I did wonder. Well, I'm not going to give it away totally, but I did wonder why this movie was called Speak No Evil going into it. I thought, what is that? I wonder what that means to the movie. You definitely find out.
So you do.
There you go. But I was curious. And I love the poster with James McAvoy, doing the hush thing. Just great. Good stuff. Go see it, man. Go see it, people. It's a fun movie. Just go see it. And if you've already seen it, go see it again. Go watch Beetlejuice again. Go watch. Just go out to the theaters, man. Rewatch all these movies. Keep it going. And I'm already jonesing to watch Beetlejuice again. I can't wait for it to hit streaming.
Same.
It's just so much fun. But just popped up. Love movies. There you go. We're going to leave on that high note. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for following us on social media, because you should. Make sure you do. And thank you for all your interactions. And until next episode, when we will be reviewing the wonderful movie Creeping Death. I'm spoiling the review left and right. Just killing it. If we come out next week and just totally trash this movie, people are going to be like, who the hell are these guys? What are they talking
about? You're for
real. Anyway, until next episode, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.